Welcome back to New York Wedding Jam, the podcast for modern couples. Hey, Jason, how you doing this rainy, rainy day?
I'm doing well, Martine. How are you?
I'm okay. I am ready for spring to actually be sprung and to get some nicer weather. I know we've had a couple of good days in here, but I'm done with winter. I actually really like snow. I don't mind cold, you know, but like every day, like by the time April rolls around, I'm done with it. It's kind of how the week is going, just over the rain and cold.
Yes. No, I hear you. And I was just having a conversation with someone today about not really, I don't mind if spring doesn't come around just because the allergies are just such a pain in the Northeast during spring. And if we stayed cool like this, like 50 degrees for all the way till June 21st, till summer, and then all of a sudden it becomes hot the next day, I would not mind skipping spring altogether. Just this one year.
Just this one year. Okay. Well, that's fair, yes. That's fair, too. I always say, like, when the weather comes around, we should only ever complain about one, right? Like, because otherwise you could complain about weather all year in New York. But, like, if spring is your one, you are welcome to it. We can hopefully skip spring this year for you.
Yeah. I'm definitely someone that appreciates all the seasons. But I'd like to just skip spring this year.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair. So, Jason, today we're going to be talking about sweating the small stuff. Have you ever tried to sweat the small stuff?
Or not sweating the small stuff. I think there was a book. Did you ever read that book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff?
I forget who
wrote it. Or
yeah, I don't remember it right now, but I'm pretty sure I did. It might be on my shelf somewhere now that I'm thinking about it. Now after we're finished here, I'm going to have to go find it.
Yeah.
But yes, the small stuff, when it comes to weddings, everything can feel like a really big deal. But in reality, some stuff is a little bit smaller than others. Now, I know we've talked about priorities before, and everybody has their set of priorities that they've set out for a wedding, things that are most important to them. I just always try and encourage my couples when I'm talking to them that, yes, we should focus on the big rocks first and the things that are most important to you. But there are some smaller items that are going to come along that it's just worth the time, money, and energy to add it to your budget. And even if it's not the thing that's most important to you, just knowing that it's something that has to get done for a variety of reasons, and it will make your day better regardless. And it's definitely more helpful if you're not worried about the little things, especially at the end. Because that's the other thing that I think people try and do is like, and now we've gotten to the end and we've spent all the money early, and now anything else that's remaining is just seems unessential, especially if it's not important. So balance budget early, but then not sweating the small stuff. So, you know, just trying to organize yourself so that a little bit of money on something that might seem inconsequential to you actually ends up being a big deal. So like one of the biggest examples that I like to share is transportation. I have so many couples who just don't want to pay for transportation. And like, that's fine if you are getting ready, having your ceremony and having your reception all in one location. No problem. You don't need transportation because you're already there. Everybody's going to meet you there. We're going to be able to start on time. We're going to be able to get from place to place, one place to the next on foot. Then that's fine. But if you have to drive, and I mean at all, I don't care if it's 5 minutes, right? The wedding's in New York City and we're getting married in Central Park and we're on the Upper East Side. That's not that big a deal, you say. I promise you, you will be late. And you will miss something if you just don't pay for transportation. And I know in the land of Ubers these days, people are kind of like, ah, whatever, we'll just get an Uber. But the thing that people don't realize is like Ubers don't wait for you, right? So if your hair and makeup is running late, or if you're getting dressed and then you can't get ready, or if it happens to be raining on your wedding day and there's like surge pricing and no cars available, you're going to be late. Every time, inevitably, without fail, somebody has decided that they are not going to follow the recommendation to get transportation, they have been late and missed something, whether that's pictures or starting their ceremony late because now they had to figure out what was happening with the vehicles. And it's just not worth the stress or the aggravation of it to like have planned this whole day and spent all this money and then like kind of fail on the one minor detail, you know?
Yes. And, you know, when you started this segment, you were talking about, I think we referenced the book, and then you started talking about putting in the big rocks. And that was a reference, when you said that, that reminded me, that was a reference from the book. And just to share with the audience what that reference is about, and I want to just talk about it because I think it's important. And then I want to tell you a quick story about transportation. I think you know my story, but I want to share it with the audience. So the author, I think it was Covey. I'm not even sure if that's the name of the author, but he talks about, there's the example of this empty jar. And a lot of you guys have probably seen this on the internet or on YouTube, where there's a jar, you need to fill it up. And, you know, the first thing you do is put in those large rocks, which take up most of the volume. And then next go in those little marbles, which kind of fill in the gaps. And then you think you're full. And then you're able to still pour in sand or water, which is going to fill in the microscopic gaps that still exist in your full, in your overall wedding. And so the stuff that we're talking about today can sometimes be perceived as the sand or the water, right, which you think is not significant, but really contributes to filling out your wedding completely and making it full and easier for you and more presentable to your guests. And so just to give you an example, share with you guys an example of what Martine was talking about. My wedding was in Brooklyn in Prospect Park, and this wasn't a situation where we were going to be traveling. Well, I guess my wife did get ready at the Marriott in near the Brooklyn Bridge. And so she did need a car to transport to Prospect Park. We planned early on, we were going to stay in a hotel in Manhattan, which was about 25 minutes away from where we were in Brooklyn. And we thought, should we get a car? Should we get like a Lincoln Town car, one of these, you know, a small car with a driver just to bring us into the city after the wedding? We thought, nah. We inquired. It was $500 for like a 20-minute ride. And we were like, GTO, what is the... Get the F out of here. I'll say it. Get the F out of here. For $500, we were wrong. We were totally wrong. It just so happens to be pouring this day. Yeah. 2017, October 29th was the rainiest day of 2017. But okay, you know, at the end of the night, we call an Uber. We have a bag full of, because some people brought us like physical hard gifts, not just envelopes. So right. We had a lantern on our table we wanted to keep as a keepsake. We had a few items with us that was difficult to carry in a full suit and a full wedding dress while also carrying two umbrellas. It was torrential downpour, not just a little sprinkle. P.S. Right. This Uber driver, we cannot connect with him. It was awkward. I have to go meet him down the block. He was not accommodating. We're wearing wedding attire. We're obviously just got married. He didn't give a he didn't give a crap. He did not open the door for us. Not that that's the end of the world, but just the experience of getting to the hotel. I mean, as soon as the door opened, the people at the hotel immediately recognized what was going on. She's in her wedding dress. I'm in a suit. They were so welcoming. They grabbed our bags. They grabbed everything. They welcomed us in. They helped dry us off. But the transportation part itself was just poor service, late service. It was just like it did not feel good at the end of our wedding to have that experience.
And then at the end of the night too, right? Like, okay, we've just had this great day, but we're tired. Like it's been a lot and there's so much going on. And now to just be sitting out here struggling for this like one last little piece and like, yeah, you know what? $500 might have seemed like a lot, but I'm pretty sure you probably wish you just paid it.
That's the only regret. I don't even mind the rain. I know my wife is not so happy with the rain. I was okay. And there was a lot of other things that happened that I wouldn't change a thing, but I would change that. I would go back and spend $500, which was nothing, for peace of mind. And for those of you who don't know Brooklyn and don't know Prospect Park, there are no cars allowed in. So had we planned the car where we got married, that car could have had a parking permission to enter the park and drive right up to our venue, which is what right. we should have had because we were given parking passes. Instead, we had to walk through the park with right. umbrellas in wedding attire, carrying
and all of your presents,
a bunch of stuff in a plastic bag that was tearing.
Right.
And we were like, I hope this bag doesn't fully tear open and open up, you know, all over the sidewalk in the park. It didn't open, but we finally got to the street out of the park, and then we're trying to find this Uber, and the guy was a jerk. So easy, $500 in retrospect would have been the way to go. So,
yeah, and so that's one of those examples where I'm like, I know it might seem like, would you ever on a normal day spend $500 for transportation? Probably not,
no.
right? For a 20-minute ride. But you're also not in formal attire and carrying presents and after a long day that, you know, honestly, you just want to get where you're going. So for the wedding, especially given like how much else you've already spent, for the sand that this is worth at this point, it's just worth it to like account for that kind of thing earlier.
Absolutely. What other things can be considered sand in this? We're really promoting this book. We should be sending.
I know, right? Like we should go like we should go find this book so that I can remember what it is at this point.
And call the author for sure.
Exactly. So the other one that I normally see or like can sometimes be a problem. Now look, sometimes some people are like all about their hair and makeup for the day, but there are some people who, you know, or there are people who don't want to do hair and makeup at all, right? Like fine, it's fine. I you know, that's a personal preference. I do think there are some advantages to having your makeup done for professional photos, because even if you want a more natural look or you don't want like a heavy makeup look, that's fine. But for photo purposes, you will always come out a little bit better if your face is, if it's got some makeup and shine prevention, if you will.
And that's really key, is that yeah. shine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In any case, like I've had people who want a hair and makeup artist, but they just don't want to pay the fee associated with a decent one. And I know we've talked about this before too, like hair and makeup is the biggest time suck of your day. And I promise you that is the place where you are going to potentially miss out on things. And my thing is like, just get somebody who can accommodate from a professional, timely, amazing look for you so that you don't end up missing. Listen, you probably paid more money for the photographer or the videographer or both, and those were really important, and you were going to do these getting ready pictures, but you decided to skimp out on hair and makeup, and so now you're running late and you miss all your pictures, and you don't get the bang for your buck that you could have out of all these other things. And given the cost, the general relative cost of the hair and makeup, it just makes more sense to find somebody who is going to give you the service that you want. Plus, like, because it's usually really early for people on the hair and makeup side, like, it's so much better to have somebody who's, like, not just professional, but, like, on your team and, you know, going to be a good vibe for the day, the way that you start your day. And you don't want to start off on the wrong foot. So even though it might seem like, oh man, like I wouldn't want to spend that kind of money for hair and makeup, and I would never do that on a regular day, it's not a regular day, I guess, is really the long story short of it. Like the reality is, like, you're gonna need this to last all day, and you want to start off on a good foot. So finding a professional who can give you the level of service that you deserve
yeah.
for the day, now, as well as for your friends and family, you know?
Now let me ask you, if someone's trying to save money, right, and says, all right, well, let me skip on the makeup artist, would you say that it's advisable to say to them, like, hey, maybe not your bridesmaids or anyone else in your wedding party, but at least you.
Right.
Right?
Yes. And I have done that. I have given that exact advice. Like, this is fine. Like, you know, maybe this was an old school one, too, where I say, hey, listen, I personally, look, back in my day, if you will, you're going to be in a wedding, you were expected to pay for your dress, you were expected to pay for hair and makeup. Yes, they might give you like accessories or whatever, you know, you're probably going to get a present from whoever the person is who's getting married, but you're kind of expected to pay for it if you wanted it, right? But if they don't want it, if your bridesmaids don't want it, if, you know, hair is a problem and not everybody wants to get their hair done, I get it. Hair can be real sensitive. Like, so, you know, I get it if not your bridesmaids or not your, you know, moms or stuff like that. It doesn't have to be a big to-do. But for the person getting married, I think it is worth it to have the services done and just be easy about it. I've also suggested in some cases where, like, if it's really not, you know, if it's really not your thing for everybody else, like, or the other ladies want something but you don't, like, I still think if they're going to do it, they should go with your choice, and you should still have a professional choice if you're going to have your bridesmaids in on it, or your wedding party in on the services. But if nobody's doing anything else and it's just going to be you, that's okay. That's fine. But I do think it's worth it. It'll look better in pictures in the end.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about this as you're talking, and I'm thinking, I wonder if anyone thinks, hey, how do these guys have a right to tell us what to do with our money, right? And you might be thinking that as a listener. And certainly I can relate to that. But certainly, you know, we are not trying to make you spend your money, but rather have a better experience on one of the more important days of your life. And things, sometimes when you don't, like, finish the job, you wind up with things that are inconvenient and not pleasant during the day that you regret later. So I know it sounds like we're trying to make you spend money. And listen, Martine and I are two vendors that cost a little bit of money. So we may not be like someone who's less expensive, like maybe transportation or maybe a makeup artist. We do cost more, so we get that. But certainly the folks who are charging, and I don't want to even give a quote, but let's say $1,000 or something like that, or in that neighborhood, you definitely want to consider that to make things convenient for you, your party, and just, you know, guest experience as well as your experience on the day.
Yeah, and I think to that point, Jason, like, none of this is prescriptive, right? I just told you, like, every time somebody has said they don't want transportation, I can't make you do it. It's your money if you don't want to. But I'm also just speaking from experience on what will happen if you don't. And just my experience, every time somebody has said, oh, well, this isn't that big a deal, it ends up being a bigger deal than they thought it was going to be. I don't want to be in the I told you so business, right? Like, that's not really what I'm here for. I'm still going to be around to, like, make sure that I'm catching your day. My goal with all of this, with this podcast, with these conversations, is just to shed some light on potential hiccups that could come up so that you can navigate around them and plan for them better.
Right. So what's the I know we talked about one other topic, and I think the topic that you want to get into is stationery.
Yes.
Invitation suites.
Invitation suites. And I realize that, again, you know, especially with this modern day and age, and sometimes for environmental reasons, people don't want to send out invitations. Again, everything is negotiable in terms of why and the what you're trying to do. But for those who are planning on sending out paper invitations, a lot of times people are like, man, we don't really care, it's not that big a deal to us. But the counterpoint to this is that is everybody's first impression of your wedding. So if you are spending all this other money, putting some thought into what the stationery looks like and what that feels like to give a right sense of the vibe that you want for your day. Again, this isn't really about spending money one way or the other. It's just about planning and making sure that you're representing yourselves the way that you want to represent yourselves. And so I've seen a lot of people just be like, ah, stationery, whatever, I don't care. Like, we'll just kind of, you know, pick something, or like, what's the cheapest way that I can go to get this done? And, you know, we printed cards off of our, you know, the office printer, and we sent that out, or we didn't send out an invitation at all, and you just word of mouthed it. Like, you could, but remember that that's how people are going to perceive the event that you're planning as well.
Right. Yeah. Stationery also serves as a memento, just the same way people save tickets to a concert or maybe a World Series. I still have World Series tickets from 1998, right? Yeah. People still preserve things, and this is something that potentially could go into your album, right? So don't forget about that. Additionally, right. In terms of stationery, the older folks, right?
Right.
If you're getting married in 2024, you probably have grandparents who are not great internet people and don't text well, right? Like my mom, she does not text well and internet well. So she is someone who requires a physical piece of cardstock or some type of paper invitation that tells her where and when to show up. And you may think, well, the other grandkids will help her and other people will help her. But older folks like to have the physical invitation in their hand.
Well, and even not just even for the older folks, like, listen, I've gotten invitations via email, right? And been like, oh, yeah, that's great. And then forgotten about it. Whereas, like, if I get an actual invitation, it goes on my fridge and I have it right there. It's a reminder that I, one, need to do something with it. And two, there's a thing that's coming up that I'm not going to be as able to easily forget, as opposed to, like, if it's just in the email form, it gets lost. And so then you end up on wedding day with people calling you being like, well, where is this thing again? I've had that happen to people.
That happened to me.
What time do we need to show up? And you're like, yeah, you know, we could skip some of this if at all possible. So just some things to think about, like I said, Jason, in terms of putting perspective on all the things that need to happen and planning for it to begin with. Right. So rather than thinking about it as a way to just spend more money, I also think about it as a way to just plan better, right? So don't spend all your money up front and then just be like, whatever, we didn't care about this part anyway, because you might actually care about the experience or just kind of the effects of not caring that happen later.
Right. I know before the show we were talking about how some of these things are some of the things we discussed, and there are other things that we've left out just for time's sake. I know we got to wrap up in a minute, but when you consider the overall budget, some of the things that we're talking about are a relatively small percentage of the overall budget, maybe 1%,
2%. 1%, 2%. Yep.
So if you think about it like that, I mean, you've already dropped 50, 60, 70, 80 grand on a wedding. What's $1,000? What's $2,000 more?
Right.
And again, we're not trying to reach into your pocketbook because, hey, my budget, you know, was tight as well, and my budget was what it was, and I felt $500 was too much. But as someone who lived through it personally and also as a wedding professional, you know, we can both tell you that certainly to use that reference again, you know, fill in your rocks, fill in your marbles, but certainly fill in your sand or water just to round out and have a complete day on your wedding day.
100%. Well, Jason, thanks so much for chatting with me. I will catch you on the next one.
I'll catch you on the next one, Martine.
All right.
Bye.